Thank you. Good morning. And welcome to Union Congregational Church. My name is Pastor Tori. For those of you who are visiting, welcome. And knowing that no matter who you are or where you are in your life's journey, you are welcome here. Wanted to remind you of a few things before we get started. If you have a hard time hearing me, there are hearing devices that are through those back doors to the right. It's a little thing you can put in your ear that helps you hear me better. And then also, if you are visiting with us, or if you have had an address or phone number or email change, these things are in your front pew right in front of you. I'm going to ask if you would just update your information for us, and then when the offering plate comes around later in the service, that you can just fold it up, put it in the offering plate. And also on the back, there is a place for prayer requests. And later in the service, we have a time where we share prayer requests out loud. And sometimes prayer requests can be a little bit more confidential. And so we give that option for people who just want to have a prayer request shared with just me. So if that is something that you want to do, just fill that out. And again, fold it up and put it in the offering plate. And that would be for my eyes only. And also, before we kick in with other announcements, I owe the congregation an apology. We have gone Facebook Live the last few weeks, and I did not adequately inform the congregation about what that was and what that is. And so I messed up, and I apologize for that. We are not doing Facebook Live this morning. We are just recording the scriptures and the sermon and putting it on our website. And eventually, I would love to go back to Facebook Live, because what that does is that it doesn't necessarily broadcast what we do to the world, and kind of, you know, sometimes it feels like it's people are interfering with our personal boundaries, and that's not it at all. What we are doing is not us broadcasting what we do to the world, it's us inviting the world in to our worship service. So it's not about getting your face on social media. If that's not something you want to do, we don't put your face on social media. We get permission. Miho gets permission and approaches you personally if you're reading scripture or if you're doing music. So I didn't mean to scare anybody or freak anybody out. So hopefully we will go back to that eventually. But today we are just recording the scripture references and the sermon. So, and if you can't tell, my voice is still getting back to where it was, as many of you were. I was also sick earlier this week with the flu, and my throat just took a toll. And so I have a huge glass of water. I never really drink water during a service, but my voice is not 100%. So that is about it. I think I updated you on everything now. So, yes.
I just have one thing. Cindy
has brought... We need a microphone in you.
Okay.
I'm very loud when I don't want to be. Cindy has brought in lots of celery and herbs and good things, and you may certainly take some. They will be in the fellowship hall or friendship hall. And if you choose to give a donation, it will go to Women's Fellowship.
I have a couple of announcements. Just a reminder in the calendar in your bulletin, the Booyah, a fundraiser for Faith in Action, will be this coming Friday night here. And on Saturday, I noticed the banner out, the spaghetti dinner. It's all during the chainsaw carving event. So big doings here in Hackensack this coming weekend. Also, we've put together a few of the directory listings in case people are heading out and want to take one with them. They're as up-to-date as we can be. And Don has succeeded in putting on cell numbers and email addresses and whatnot. So updated directory listings. There's a few available. And I did notice that unless someone brought something in, we're just having coffee today because no one had signed up. There is someone signed up for next week. However, all of October is open for somebody to sign up to serve a few little goodies after service. Does anyone else? Yes, Tom.
Those of us who are interested in our relationship with the Native American community will want to know that tomorrow evening in Walker, in the Rock Garden between the Cass County Museum and the courthouse, there will be a celebration of Unity Day when the Leech Lake Band will be present with everyone else who comes to dedicate a new statue that has been installed there. And we are all invited to come. So those of us who have an interest in cultivating a relationship with our Native American neighbors are invited to come to that event. It's called Unity Day, and it begins at 6 o'clock with a dinner, I guess outside, for the first 100 people to arrive, and then a celebration beginning formally at 6:30. So Sarah and I plan to be there. We hope others of you will want to come as well.
Tom, what is the date on that again?
Tomorrow. Monday. The 23rd? Is that the 23rd?
Yes, 23rd.
Any other announcements?
Yeah. One here.
Well, the dinner is free.
Okay, free dinner.
I just want to mention the Hackensack Hub next to the post office is having a book, bake, and plant sale on Saturday, so come on over. Pick up some books for your winter reading and buy a plant, and just come over and visit us. Talk to you soon. Thank you.
What time is that? 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Lots going on in Hackensack with the chainsaw carving. This will be your first chainsaw carving.
No, it's my second one.
She came to the chainsaw carving last year. Anybody else?
Yes. I think next week marks my the date that I preached here for when people voted on me. And so that's kind of exciting. So I loved the chainsaw event the last time, and so I plan on going again. That's where you will find me. I'll prepare my sermon there. Let us prepare our hearts and our minds in a time of worship before God. Please join me in the call to worship. Oh, how God has blessed us. God laid the earth's foundation, and God had us in mind when this universe was created. Because of the sacrifice of Christ, we are free to live the life God has called us to live. God thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plan.
God set
a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up under Christ. It is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Join with me in prayer. Generous God, we thank you for being a God who has chosen to be active in our lives. You're a God who has loved us so much that you sent your Son Jesus as an example for us to live by. Teach us to be more like you in our words and actions. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let us stand and sing Morning Has Broken. We're going to be singing all of those verses on page 145 in the supplemental hymnal. And please stand if you are able to stand. Peace of God be with you.
And also with you.
Let us greet our friends and neighbors with the peace of Christ and say hello. You may be seated.
This morning we continue our study of the book of Acts, the New Testament book of Acts. And I would guess that by now we all know that the book of Acts is like the second chapter of a book that starts with the first chapter, which is the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, of course, tells the story of Jesus' life and death and resurrection. And the book of Acts picks up immediately with the following of the ascension of Christ and tells the story of the establishment of the church throughout the Mediterranean world. That indeed may be one of the purposes of the composition of this book, was to explain how, since Jesus was Jewish and his early disciples presumably were Jewish, how did the church become the church of the Gentiles throughout the Mediterranean world, and of course then the Western world as well. And it is, of course, because of the mission of Paul, who traveled throughout the Mediterranean world to spread the news, the good news of Christ. In the book of Acts, we're in the latter part now, which dwells particularly with the mission of Paul and tells of the ordeals that he encountered as he made his way ultimately to Rome. A reading from the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, verses 23 through 36. About that time, no little disturbance broke out concerning the way. A man named Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines of Artemis, brought no little business to the artisans. These he gathered together with the workers of the same trade and said, "Men, you know that we get our wealth from this business. You also see and hear that not only is in Ephesus, but in almost the whole of Asia, this Paul has persuaded and drawn away a considerable number of people by saying that gods made with hands are not gods. And there is danger not only that this trade of ours may come into disrepute, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis will be scorned, and she will be deprived of her majesty that brought all Asia and the world to worship her." When they heard this, they were enraged and shouted, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." And the city was filled with the confusion, and people rushed together to the theater, dragging with them Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians who were Paul's travel companions. And Paul wished to go into that crowd, but the disciples would not let him. Even some officials of the province of Asia, who were friendly to him, sent him a message urging him not to venture into the theater. Meanwhile, some were shouting one thing, some another, for the assembly was in confusion, and most of them did not know why they had come together. Some of the crowd gave instructions to Alexander, whom the Jews had pushed forward, and Alexander motioned for silence and tried to make a defense before the people. But when they recognized that he was a Jew, for about 2 hours, all of them shouted in unison, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." But when the town clerk had quieted the crowd, he said, "Citizens of Ephesus, who is there that does not know that the city of the Ephesians is the temple keeper of the great Artemis and of the statue that fell from heaven? Since these things cannot be denied, you ought to be quiet and do nothing rash." Here ends the reading of this morning's lesson.
Thank you, Tom. A few weeks ago, we had a story of Paul being in Athens. And Athens was considered the center of education and culture. And now this week and today, we have a story that is set in the city of Ephesus. And Ephesus is considered to be the financial center of the Roman world. Paul was now on his third missionary journey. And before we go any further than this, I want to do what I kind of normally do, is kind of zoom out a little bit and kind of go through the background of what was happening in these verses. When Paul first entered the city of Ephesus, he found some of John the Baptist's disciples and told them about Jesus being the Christ. And these disciples of John the Baptist quickly believed and then began learning from Paul. Now, as usual, one of Paul's first actions when he enters any town is that he goes into the synagogue. He goes to church. And Paul spends 3 months talking and arguing in the synagogue, but people were stubborn and they did not believe Paul's proclamation that Jesus was the Messiah. So Paul took the few disciples that he had that he found there. And he walked out of the synagogue and he began teaching in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. And he finds success in people being receptive to the message of Christ. Receptive to the point where it shakes up the whole city. People become upset because Paul's teaching about Jesus impacts not only the city, but it impacts the economy. And you might wonder, well, that's kind of crazy. Just Paul and his little group of bands, little group of people, they just go into a whole city and they just shake everything up. Yeah. Because here's where it gets interesting. Ephesus is home to one of the seven ancient wonders of the world. Does anybody know which one that is? No? I'll give you a hint. It looks like, in its day, it looked like this, or one artist's depiction of it anyway. That is the Temple of Artemis. That is what it might have looked like back then. This is kind of what it looks like now. That's a lot different, isn't it? Artemis was a Greek goddess of fertility. And she is depicted as a huntress, a protector of animals, the goddess of chastity, and, well, I had her up here. She disappeared. And fertility. And the Temple of Artemis and Artemis herself are key components to this story. There's a few things about Artemis that I find incredibly interesting. Artemis was Apollo's sister. Remember Apollo from a few weeks ago? In the Athens story, the slave girl, the fortune teller, she was a priestess of Apollo. Artemis was Apollo's sister. Artemis is believed to have fallen from heaven, and Ephesus had become the guardian of her temple, the protector of her temple. Craftsmen would make a good living creating smaller versions of Artemis to sell to towns and to people, to travelers and to tourists, and it was kind of the to-go god. And the rhythm and the entire city revolved around the temple and revolved around Artemis. Its calendar, its routines in life, and it wasn't just a place of worship. It was about the economy and the social structure of things. And so when Paul and his companions came to town and began proclaiming Jesus, people started believing. And it upset the apple cart. Fewer people were paying attention to Artemis. Fewer people were buying her shrines. Fewer people were going to the temple. And a guy named Demetrius had enough. I find this story intriguing because of this character, Demetrius. He was a silversmith. And I really want to focus on that guy today. He was a silversmith. He was a craftsman. He was the one that made shrines of Artemis and sold them to the people as they got their to-go god. And he probably made good money doing it. And now he's blaming Paul for upsetting not only his income, but the entire way of life in the city. Because it was changing. It wasn't the same. And so Demetrius says, well, I'm not on the ball today at all, am I? All right, I'll tell you what he says. He says, men, you know that we get our wealth from this business. You also see and hear that not only in Ephesus, but almost all of the whole Asia, this Paul has persuaded and drawn away a considerable number of people by saying that gods made with hands are not gods at all. And there's danger not only that this trait of ours may come to disrepute, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis will be scorned, and she will be deprived of her majesty that brought all of Asia and the world to worship her. It seems like Demetrius is protecting his god. He has accumulated wealth from it. He's worried that Artemis will be scorned and deprived of her majesty. So here's this man who creates his god's image to make money. And it makes me wonder if that still happens today. And the first thing that popped in my head was, it was about a year ago, maybe a little over a year ago. I heard that a pastor wanted a new jet for his congregation. Well, really for him. So he went and asked his congregation to raise $54 million so that he can purchase a jet for the gospel. He created his God's image to make money. God will bless you if you, and that happens today. Not just this guy, but more. And Demetrius thinks his God needs protection, and therefore is ready to defend his God and to be violent and to get his point across. And so in the scripture that we read, they drag Paul's companions into the theater because they're angry. They couldn't find Paul, so they and Paul wanted to go. People kept him from going to the theater. And this mob chanted, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians," not allowing anybody to talk. I think it said in the scripture for 2 hours, they just chanted. Can you imagine being in that theater with hundreds of people surrounding you, just chanting, chanting, and chanting, and not giving you a chance to speak? Just protecting their God, protecting their way of life to the point where you might be scared that violence might happen. And it makes me wonder if that happens today. And I think it does. We see it in religion. We see it in politics. God hates this group of people because of the color of their skin. God hates this group of people because of their sexual orientation. God hates this group of people because they're too far right or they're too far left. God hates this group of people because of their beliefs about, and you can fill in the blank. And people will defend their version of who they believe God to be because they make God in their own image. People like Demetrius still exist today, using God to profit and defending God as if God really needs to be defended. We see Demetrius in the pulpits of our churches. We see Demetrius in our pews. We see him in politics. We see him in the armed forces. We see him in the city, and we see him in the country. We see him on the East Coast and the West Coast. We see him in our schools. We see him in our sports fields. We see him in our television sets. We see him in our neighbors. And we see him in ourselves. And this can become dangerous when we make God in an image that we create instead of allowing God to reveal who God is. Sometimes we like to set the bar for God and decide who God loves and who God doesn't love, who God accepts and who God doesn't accept, who's in and who's out, And we, in a way, are defending God. And that's treading on dangerous territory. So how do we stop this? How do we change that? And I know that we can't control other people, but maybe how can we stop that within ourselves? Maybe. Maybe. Instead of us trying to create our image of who we think God is, that maybe we need to learn what God thinks of us. There is a New Testament letter. It's called a letter to the Ephesians. It's in the New Testament. And it's a letter that many scholars think Paul wrote to the Ephesus church after he left there. And some of the first words were not Paul telling the Ephesian church what to do, but Paul wrote what God thought of them and what God thinks of us. And I want you to hear this, and it's not in the NRSV version that we normally read. The New Revised Standard Version is what we read almost every week. I wanted you guys to hear it in a fresh voice. And so we're going to read it from the Message. And Carol, can you come on up? And it's Ephesians 1, I think it's, is it 3 through 12?
Yeah, 3 through 12.
Okay. I want you to hear the word of the Lord.
The letter of Paul to the Ephesians, 1, verse 1, 3 through 12. How blessed is God, and what a blessing he is. He is the Father of our Master Jesus Christ, and takes us to the high places of blessings in him. Long before he laid down the earth's foundations, he had us in mind. He had settled on us the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. And what a pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift-giving by the hand of his beloved Son. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we are a free people, free of penalties and punishments chalked up by our misdeeds. And not only just barely free either, abundantly free. He thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making. He set it all out before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in him. Everything in deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth. It is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and in everyone. The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Carol. I would like to sum that up because that's a lot. Here's the summary of that. God loves you. God accepts you. And God has adopted you into his family. No matter who you are or where you are in your life's journey, God loves you. God accepts you. God has adopted you into God's family. Knowing that, believing that, there is no need to defend God or to use God to benefit yourself. You are fully and extravagantly loved. You are totally accepted. And you are fully adopted as God's child. Now, let's go and live that. Amen. Amen. Let us join together and sing page 387. And if you could stand and sing, stand if you are able and sing. Page 387, O Christ, the Great Foundation. Oh, you may be seated. I sometimes forget. Let us take some time to share prayer requests and praises. Oh, I have one. I'm not gonna let anybody talk. I got a call from Dolly Olson. Dick is home. They are not with us today because Dick is still adjusting to being home. And he has that adjustment period. They thought he would be here this morning, but he needs a little bit more time to breathe and to settle down. So, but Dick is home. Oh, come on, just because I interrupted everybody. We got one for Karen.
I just don't want to see just one candle up there. So I'll say that my daughter and her husband have finished their hike. For people who've been here regularly, you know, they've been on the Pacific Crest Trail. I think they hiked about 2,000 miles. And over since they started mid-April. And now they're adjusting and ready to go back to work, or getting ready to go back to work. And the mental switch in their minds is it's a big thing to get off the trail where all you think about is how far you're going and what you're eating for your next meal. And it's just very different. My daughter's a genetic counselor, so she'll be looking at data on a computer screen starting next Monday. So we're hoping the switch can happen quickly. Anyway, I know some folks have been praying for them and they've come through it. They're very healthy, and just appreciate being able to talk about it here.
Any other prayer requests or praises? That's going to be a short prayer today. You have one?
Dear sweet Stan is bowling. That's a good thing. Yeah. We'll see if he makes it through six games after his hip wasn't that long ago. But it's a good thing.
That's a great thing. Because he loves bowling.
July. Hip replaced in July and he's already out bowling.
Yeah. That's great.
Go Stan.
See, and I can't bowl to begin with, so good for him.
It's been such a blessing for me to be here this summer. I love you all. I think of you through the winter and wish you all well. I just want to report that I locked myself out of the cabin this week.
Oh.
I have a 2-foot wide window and a 3 feet high. And I had to put my body through that 2-foot. Somehow I did it. It took every ounce of strength I had, and I thank God that I could do that. Thank you.
Mary, we love you too. Let's go to God in prayer. God of grace, and God of love, thank you for being the God who loves us unconditionally. No matter what we've done in our past, no matter what we do in our future, that you love us and accept us because we are your children. Thank you for adopting us and choosing us. God, we ask for many things this morning. I think about our government and where we are at in our nation. And there are many disagreements, many arguments, many people who think they're right and refuse to see the other side's viewpoint. We ask that you soften hearts and open blinded eyes so that we as a nation can be unified, that we as a nation can heal, and that we as a nation can stand united in this world and be a light in dark moments. God, we pray for our mayors, our governors, our senators, our representatives. We pray for our president and our vice president, God. We lift them up to you, knowing that you love them, knowing that you care for them. God, thank you for being active in our lives and for being a God who refuses to give up. God, we lift up our prayer request today. We thank you for Dick, that he is home, that he is safe, that he is getting better. God, we thank you for strengthening him, that he is walking, and we ask that you continue to heal him. We pray for Dolly and Don as they adjust to what Dick needs now. Give them strength, give them wisdom, give them patience. God, we thank you that Peter and Jen came off the trail safe and sound. And we pray that as they begin to get their minds adjusted to work life again, we ask for a smooth transition, that they learn to lean upon each other, to talk with one another, to express frustrations to one another. And God, thank you for that experience that you gave them. We thank you also for Stan. We thank you for his continued healing and his hip replacement. That he is bowling right now puts a smile on my face, as it does many of others. We thank you for his participation in this church and being part of our family here. And God, we thank you for Mary and what a blessing she has been this summer. We thank you for her health. We thank you for her strength. We thank you for her humor and how much she has just made this congregation better this summer just because of her presence. God, we pray for those who could not be here with us today, those who might be stuck indoors or who might be sick today. We ask that you be with them and you heal them and bring them back to us. And God, I thank you for this family of believers that you have put together. In our diversity and backgrounds of different faith traditions, I thank you that in our little church, that we are as unified as we are, that we listen to one another, that we love one another. God, I thank you for that. Even in our disagreements, we still love one another. And I ask that you continue to cultivate that within our community. And now, God, we come to you as a unified group of people, saying the prayer that your son Jesus has taught us to say, and saying, "Our God in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Will the ushers please come forward for our morning offering? Thank you. with me. God, thank you for providing for our every need. We give back a portion to you, what you have given to us. Use these gifts for your purpose and glory. Amen. The last song we're going to sing is not in your hymnals, but it is in your bulletin. And how many of you guys know the Family of God song? A few of you? Good. I'm going to rely on you to sing loud. I was trying to practice this. I'm going to try to sing. Who knows how this is going to go. But this is a song that I grew up with that, as I was preparing the sermon, it kept popping in my head. And I thought it was very appropriate, because then when I looked it up, I thought, man, this fits our congregation really well. And so if you don't know it, I hope that you learn it and that you like it. And for those who do know it, sing loud. Let's try this. Benediction. May our God, the Creator, go with you this week. May our God, the Christ, shine through you. And may our God, the Holy Spirit, guide you and direct you in all that you do. Amen.
wasn't on the ball. I didn't do all my jobs and half the lights were on.
Oh, I don't think anybody noticed.
They did last year.
Okay. So where is
somebody put it on all of
them. Rock Falls. Yes. Rock Falls. Near Eau Claire. Near Eau Claire.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. So
I don't even know where it is from.
Okay.
No.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
4 hours.
That's where our daughter lives this weekend.
Oh. Okay. Well, they have a, you know, they have like 40 trees, 35 or 40 trees, and they pick everything they could possibly, and they have a little portable station where you know you grind up the apples and press the apples
and make apple cider
and make apple juice.
Apple juice. Oh, nice.
And or cider, I guess you call that cider, just the juice. And then the last they do during the summer or the fall, early fall, they do everything they need.
Okay.
And then they just open up the last weekend of September is open for anybody to come.
Nice.
Bring your own apples, pick our apples, whatever.
Oh, nice.
Come and make.
Oh, nice.
And so we always take a 6-gallon carboy and then we come home and make wine.
Oh, that's the purpose.
Yep.
Okay, gotcha.
That's what we do. Oh, may I have your attention for just a minute? Just a minute, just a minute. Today only. I can't whistle. Yes, thank you. Just today only, there's a beautiful quilt on display over here. The Walker Food Shelf is having a raffle. The raffle will be done on October 12th at their Holiday Boutique in Walker. I have tickets for sale, and this is the only day the quilt will be here at church, although if you go to, well, I suppose if you go to the, I don't know where you'd find tickets. But anyway, if anybody's interested, they're $5 each, and all the proceeds go to buy food for the hungry in our area. Thank you, and I have tickets. Still a few tickets available for the Blue Mound Turkey Dinner.